With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
On a give for the all-time leading rusher for the Niners, Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Handoff, Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle, across the 30 to the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a Sanders run. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 77 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troop 8. If you have not explored it yet, you need to go to the South Harmon website. The South Harmon website, you can get access to the warp tool, you can get access to the simulator, and that's where you can also find all the other stuff that we're doing at South Harmon. You can get merch, and you can even sign up for a team review. If you want myself, Adam, Mike, Eric, Maddie, T-Rock, Fizzle, anybody from the South Harmon team to go ahead and take a look at your team, give you some feedback on where you should be going this season. Maybe you've got a team that you're just a little unsure about, something like that. Go sign up for a team review at southharmonff.com or dynastyteamreview.com. Either one will get you to the same place. So this week is a topic that was a little bit inspired based on the discussions that I've been seeing out of the South Harmon team. I've been wondering whether the kinds of leagues that we're playing in are actually indicative of the larger dynasty space. And the comment that made this point apparent to me was when Adam was talking about, either on an AMA or a trade show, how people are more willing to trade their first round picks this time of year, and how he's seeing an increase in the rate of first round picks. And I didn't feel like it was an increase in the rate of first round picks. I felt like people were being smarter with their first round picks. They weren't necessarily getting tossed out for something completely off the wall, like a first round pick for like three random players who don't really mean a whole lot in a lineup league. But instead, the first round picks, if they were going out, were going for players who were quite strong or for major upgrades. And the reason that I felt like maybe Adam's statement might be wrong is because with all my trade spamming I've been doing, I've been having the worst time getting people to pay a first-round pick for anything. Like, I've been trying. These 2026 picks are ones that, so according to Keep Trade Cut, people don't want. They would rather have 27s and 28s. So I should have an easier time getting these 26s from these middling teams that are like, oh, you know what? I'm willing to push in. This 2026 class is crap. I might as well try and win a championship here, and then if I need to tank for that 2027 class that's going to have those really, really top-tier wide receivers, those really good quarterbacks, like, I'm already positioned to tank if it ends up falling apart to this year and I end up, like, flaming out of the playoffs. So I've been trying to essentially fade that logic and say, give me all the 26s, and I will see if I can't build a team that's going to compete in that 2026 season off of those rookies, or be prepared for that 2027 team when those 2026 rookies mature. So to hear Adam, somebody who's also in like 20 different dynasty leagues, say that he feels like these first round picks are being sent out like hotcakes, makes me think that there's got to be a disconnect, and I don't know who is right. So I decided, you know what, I have access to literal hundreds of thousands of leagues that are happening on Sleeper right now. What do those look like? And so what I wanted to do was go through the data of what it looks like across the past 5 years and how many first round picks are being traded over the course of those first 4 weeks of the season. So the parameters that I set were any first round picks that were traded between the kickoff of the first game of the NFL season to the kickoff of the first game of week 5. Those are my parameters. And so now let's go through it. The first season is 2021. 2021, I had 72,703 leagues, which had a total number of trades of 47,786. I'm just giving you these numbers so you can do the math yourself, or if you want to use them for something, feel free to. I don't care. I'm giving you the numbers, that way you can do whatever you want with them. The important thing that I'm going to be basing all this analysis off of is that there was 0.657 first-round picks traded for every Dynasty League. So that's the important number, the rate of first-round picks being traded in those first 4 weeks of the season. So 0.657, so we are not at one full first-round pick being traded in an average Dynasty League in those 4 weeks, but it gives us a baseline. It gives us that 0.657. All right. Let's say that is our starting amount all the way back in 2021. This is a long time ago. Where does that change to being now? In 2022, we start to see a little bit of a trend in that we have 106,783 leagues that have 73,440 trades, which comes out to 0.688 trades per league, where there's a first-round pick moved. So, if you have 0.657 going to 0.688, means we have a slight increase in the total number of first-round picks traded. We get to 2023, and you have 153,274 leagues, and those have 116,572 trades, which comes out to 0.76 first round picks being traded per league. We see another increase, this one an even larger jump. So 2023, people are more likely to trade away their first round picks. They're more likely to start moving these in the beginning of the season. Then we get to 2024. In 2024, we have 211,000 leagues, 211,082. And we have 123,591 first-round picks traded in the first week of the season. That number comes out to 0.58 first-round picks traded in every league. This is the lowest number, by far, of those four seasons. And notably, it is a humongous difference between the year prior. The year prior was the highest of my 5-year sample set, and this one is now the lowest. So when I'm looking at that, I'm seeing what I think is a change in how dynasty managers are viewing their first round picks. With this 2024 draft class, everyone realized just how strong these first round picks can be, and how strong they can be without you fully realizing the full span of that class. Everyone that missed out on 2024 because they participated in the highest rate of trading your first round picks in 2023 is realizing, oh, wait a second, I should probably hold on to these things. I probably just shouldn't throw them away like hotcakes. And so you see a massive overcorrection. And you see this overcorrection going below what appears to be the trend from the years prior. And so then I get to 2025. And this is where it surprised the heck out of me. To the point where I have double-checked my data. I have gone through. I've been like, this cannot be possible. This cannot be right. And I went and I checked. And I'm like, no, but this is in fact what is happening. These first 4 weeks of the season, in 231,069 leagues, there is only, and notice 231,069, the highest league total number, 93,913 trades. Without even having to do math, you already know that's fewer trades than the year prior, which was the lowest number. And that comes out to 0.406 first round picks being traded per league. Those first round picks are being held onto for dear life. They are not being traded like they were in previous seasons. People are recognizing the value of having these first round picks and holding on to them until draft period comes around, or at the very least, you can get closer to playoffs and know how to play them optimally. It seems to me like 2023 was the year that everyone was trying to push in early. They were trying to be the first to market with their draft picks. And a bunch of people got burned. A bunch of people pushed in too early, spent them on the wrong players. That 2024 draft class was horrendous for them because they missed out on all the good players. They sat there from the sidelines and watched all their league mates get these good players. We now have had 1 year removed from that 2024 draft class, and we've realized, wait a second, that draft class was really stinking good. And I want to have players in these draft classes. And you look back and you think on it, you're like, even that 2023 class, like, it wasn't that good of a draft class. 2022, it wasn't that good of a draft class. But in terms of dynasty value, those players doing pretty well. If you drafted a bunch of first round picks, like, you made out in value as long as you played the market right. And I think we're seeing those effects now, that people are not pushing in those 2026 draft picks and those 27s and those 28s. They're not pushing them in like they did in previous years. They're actually holding on to them and playing them at more optimal times. They're letting their teams ride it out. And so what can we do with this information? Well, we know that it's going to be harder to pull these first round picks off of the other managers in our leagues. But that means that those teams that you had that were kind of more in the middle, and I know I have quite a few of these, and this is something I've noticed as a trend, you can kind of let them continue to stay in the middle longer because you're having a hard time saying, I want to kick the bucket and try to tank really hard. If there's a team that already was tanking before the season, okay, yeah, they're going to beat everybody. But that team that you had that was maybe an eighth after the first 3 weeks, well, after another week, I had quite a few of those teams go up, and they got all the way up to sixth. And I have quite a few of those teams where nobody else in the league's doing anything. And I'm sitting there going, trying to sell players, trying to be like, hey, can I pick a direction, please? And the rest of my league mates are like, eh, I'll take the couple cheap guys. Like if you've got an older veteran that you want to get rid of for like a single second, where I'm like staring down the barrel of these veterans that are doing really, really well. Like, why would I want to trade away Javonte Williams for the absolute best teams in the league second? I want to hold out for somebody who's not the absolute best in the league and try to get their second and probably a third on top. I mean, Javonte Williams has been smashing so far this season. And so what I'm realizing is, well, I mean, my team's riding the back of Javonte Williams and of the couple other, like, first-round pick-valued guys, and he's kind of in the middle. Why not let that team continue to just kind of float around in the middle? Not try and force myself into a tank, but then also not commit all the way in either. Just kind of ride it out and think back to the money expectation for making playoffs. The two biggest factors for how much money you make in a league is A, whether or not you have a first round bye, and then second, whether or not you make playoffs. Even just making playoffs in a year-long average rate, if you were to make playoffs every single year, your expectation is that you would come out on top in that league in terms of making more money than the dues that you pay in. That's what it comes out to. All you need to do is go ahead and just win into the playoffs. At that point, let variance take the wheel. Let the fact that the sixth team is the worst team in the league take the wheel, and you'll still come out on top. So if I have all these teams that are in the middle, what's the reason to try and lose a ton of value to force myself into a tank? And instead, hang around with all these other teams that are not pot committing themselves. Rather than having to take the gamble on these teams where I'm trying to get there first and hoping that, you know, it doesn't become a playoff first, which a lot of the times it does end up happening. They're wanting to hold on to it. They're wanting an absolute no-brainer to trade away their first. And I know I'm that way. I've been that way for a long time with my first-round picks. But that's what I'm seeing in the community. And so what we're seeing now is those teams are holding on to their first. That's what's happening across the dynasty landscape. The players that are moving are the ones that are worth a second, that are worth a third. Like those players that you can get for really cheap who are producing well. And teams are trying to build their teams off of, I'm already committed to whoever my big name players are, my cornerstones, my wide receiver twos, my top tier tight ends. Like those guys, I'm already committed to them. I'm not trying to replace them. I'm not trying to do anything different. I'm not trying to overreact based on the first 4 weeks of the season either. And instead, they're going, okay, you know what? I've got a flex spot that needs to be filled because I got an injury. Well, can I go out and get somebody who's going to do well enough? And sometimes maybe it's somebody a little bit better. Maybe it's you can go out and get a Keenan Allen off of somebody who was holding on to him and they're stuck all the way down there in 11th place. Yeah, you can go get that Keenan Allen. But there's not a whole lot that you need to do other than continue to ride the variance. And I think people are accepting that more. People are accepting that, hey, I just need to ride the variance over the course of this season, figure out where my team stacks up when we get close to playoffs, and then push everything in. Find the team that thought they might have a shot. They end up in eighth place, but they've still got a bunch of good players. And when my team has a bunch of injuries, when it's kind of fallen apart, okay, you know what? That's when I'm going to decide to pull out, or that's when I'm going to decide to push in. So if you are trying to get these first-round picks, or you're trying to send away your first-round picks, right now, it's a seller's market. There's a lot of people that are willing to accept them and are willing to say, hey, I'm going to try and tank. Because we know the power that these picks have. And you can take advantage of that in your market. But also know, you don't have to either. Like, there's a reason this is the prevalent thought at the moment. And as much as I try to buck the trend in terms of, this is what the market's doing, I want to see what the teams that are winning are doing, and then just follow them and buck the rest of the market. What I see are some sound principles. If you don't know what you're doing, there's only one asset that will never get hurt, that will never get suspended, and who you can rely on to always increase in value. And that is your draft picks. And so hold on to those for dear life. Don't give them away unless you know for sure you are getting a return that is going to mean a lot to your team. If you think about trading away your first round pick, second, third, and fourth, the dollar value of sending away those picks is the dollar value of your league dues. The only things that you should send that entire contingent for, of which that first round pick should be worth like 70% of that value, is if you are changing your fate from going out of playoffs into playoffs, or if you're changing your fate from going from third place to a first round bye. Those are the only times that you should change it. Otherwise, you should probably be holding on to these. There's no difference between being fifth and being third. There's no difference between sixth and third. There's no difference between second and first, unless you're in a five-team playoff and only the top team gets first-round bye. And so those are the only scenarios where you should be sending away that first-round pick for. So if you're doing that now, are you really that confident that with whatever player you're sending that first-round pick for, that you're going to get that kind of boost? Are you really confident that sending away your 26 and your 27 first, that you are getting so much value that it changes you from being the third place team this year to being a first round bye this year, and then also changing your fortunes next year enough that you also make that back next year? You have to increase that expectation the year after as well if you're sending both of those years' picks. And I think a lot of people, they might not be able to articulate it in those words. They might not have the data to support that opinion, but they understand the ideas. They understand intuitively, hey, this makes sense. These first-round picks are, in fact, so valuable, I need to hold on to them. And so that's the mindset that you're fighting right now if you're trying to get them. And that's the mindset you probably should also have if you're still holding on to them. So all that to say, Adam, I disagree with you. I don't think these first-round picks are being moved easier than in previous years. In fact, I think people are getting smarter, and we're seeing a new dynasty form that relies on this second tier of players and what they're doing for me right now, right at this moment. And the value is entirely based upon the points that they are putting onto your team and the confidence that that will continue into the following week. Seems like we've been moving there for years in the dynasty space, and that has now finally caught up where we are recognizing the value that the long-term thinking has and its effect on how we should be playing in that short-term strategy. So with that, that's going to be the end of this topic, and I'm going to move on to the last two segments of my podcast for the week. The first one is spam trades. These are all the trades that I am trying to send to my fellow league mates in order to try and set my teams better up for the future, especially my rebuilders. First one is selling Quentin Johnson for literally any first. Now, I have not gotten this done. I have not been able to send QJ for any first, probably related to the topic of this episode. But you might find somebody who's willing to take a chance. I know that a lot of people are valuing him up there in that range now. And so you need to find that one sucker in your league who is willing to do that. In addition, spamming a top-tier receiver for neighbors in a first. And when I say top-tier, I mean Puka Nacua has gotten up there as the top one of the top wide receivers. Can you send him for neighbors and a first if you've got a team that's down there in 9th, 10th, 11th place? Can you send Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase for neighbors and a first? Note, I have not been able to do this either. Instead, the trades that I've been able to do is send a 1B to your receiver for neighbors straight up. And so those are your guys like Roma Dunze, your Emeka Egbukas. Like those guys you can swap for neighbors. And I've done that in the reverse way as well, where I've sent my neighbors in order to get Egbuka because he's performing at that high rate as a rookie, still a young receiver, somebody that I can get points for my team now, and if I need to later on, be able to split them up into multiple assets. If you've got a rebuilder who has Stephon Diggs, you can go ahead and try and sell him off of last week's performance. He's somebody that I'm definitely trying to flip into Elik Iemanoir, but you can also just go ahead and try to sell him for a third-round pick, and you might find some more buyers. Next one is Darius Slayton for a third. It might be a little bit harder to get this done, except for to people that are paying more attention to the New York Giants, but maybe give it a week or two and this one will become more enticing for a lot of people. Isaiah Bond for a third. He's somebody that I picked up a ton of, and so I'm actually selling some of him for a third now, with the expectation that I'm not going to get rid of all my shares of Isaiah Bond, and I'm kind of hopeful that I'll be able to get a second round pick here in the future, that he's going to do quite well for the Browns, or people are going to realize, hey, there's this rookie wide receiver who is doing a ton of work for the Browns, and I want this guy. I mean, there's a reason that NFL draft prospect-wise, he was supposed to be essentially a second-round receiver, but because of all the legal troubles he was going through, he went undrafted, and then he ended up signing with the Browns. But he's good enough. He's, after basically missing all of training camp, he has all of a sudden just appeared getting a ton of snaps on a weekly basis. It's just been continually growing over the course of the season. Next guy, Jalen Tolbert for a third. People should hopefully have seen the performance that he put up with CeeDee Lamb out and want to get a piece of that. Aronde Gadsden for a second or two thirds, depending on your tight end premium and that kind of thing. Like, definitely, if you have Gadsden, I am trying to just get a nice clean profit. He's probably somebody that you spent a fourth or fifth round pick on, or maybe even got off of the waiver wire. Go ahead and turn that into profit for you. Go ahead and get somebody else. Go try and find yourself those guys who might become the next true performers of like Juwan Johnson and Hunter Henry. Because I don't think Gadsden is going to get to that point of being that absolute top tier tight end. Theo Johnson popped back up with a decent performance. Try to get a third out for him. If anybody that knows me knows that I've been very down on Theo Johnson long term. Basically, if you're still holding on to him, I'm trying to say get off of him if you can. Chase Brown for a first was another one I tried to spam. Did not get any first for my Chase Browns. I did get a counter for 2 seconds and a third, and I ended up taking it. It was a league where I was rebuilding, and I was like, you know what? This is good enough. Get me off Chase Brown here. So sometimes these spam trades, they can turn into something else. They're just kind of close, and you got to say, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do this just to get out of the asset. And Chase Brown, there's a lot of question marks if you're thinking about the Cincinnati Bengals team that has been covered on so many other podcasts. If you have a podcast that has not been talking about Chase Brown in the past like week and a half, and how he has not been able to perform to the level that we want him to perform because of the weaknesses of this Cincinnati Bengals offense, then you probably need to expand what you're listening to. Jalen Waddle's value, it might go back up as a result of this past week and also the Tyreek Hill injury. So if you can get a first, great, get out. But I don't know that you'll be able to do that without seeing some good performances out from him. So keep an eye out for him. Cooper Rush, spam him for thirds. Lamar Jackson is out. You might have some owners that, especially with this being the first week of buys, they are looking for a quarterback. And here's somebody cheap who, yeah, they'll get them a week, probably get them 2 weeks. They'll probably get them a week six as well. Week seven is the Ravens' bye, and I would not be surprised to see Lamar miss both weeks in order to get that extra free week of rest without having to miss a game. If you're a contender and you've got Russell Wilson on your team, get rid of him. Get a fourth, get Fab, get something. I know I still have a couple hanging around that I just need to finish going through and spamming him out. Tyreek Hill, spam him out for get a fourth, get Fab, anything, same idea. He's out for the entire season. Who knows what he's going to look like next year? Just let's just get ahead of that now and free up that roster spot on your team for something else and get a little value going along with it. Lastly, Devin Neal. He's somebody that I am finding myself having to cut sometimes because he just hasn't been on the active roster on game day this entire season. I just want to call it out that if you've been holding on to Devin Neal, Devin Neal was somebody who was being drafted in the early to mid part of the third round. Maybe you can find somebody that hasn't been paying attention to that, and you can contribute him as a throw-in piece on a trade, or you can get at least a little bit of value out of him. That's what I would be attempting to do if I still had him in a bunch of places. Last segment for the week, tight ends don't matter. So last week, I chose Tonjes, and I got 3 receptions for 58 yards and a touchdown. That's tight end 7 on the week, off of a guy who 3 weeks ago, he was on waivers. So as I continue on to this next week, I have the option between him, Darnell Washington, Jaxon Hawes, and Mitchell Evans. And now you're going to have to trust me on this, and that I say that I chose Tonjes beforehand, because, I mean, I wrote it down in my notes doc beforehand. I'm going to choose Tonjes just so that way I could commit to that. But we already know what he did here in week 5. And he got us 7 receptions for 41 yards and a touchdown. He did even better than he did the week prior, especially if you have a tight end premium for catches. Like if you have the 2.0 tight end premium, man, you just raked in like 24 points off this guy. And so this is the kind of thing that you can get with the tight ends don't matter strategy. Until George Kittle comes back, we're going to keep riding Tonjes probably for a while. And I don't see that he's going to get to be a top 12 started tight end unless things really drastically change here. So that's everything that I have for this week. Don't forget to check out our partners over at Certified Shit at Fanatics and get the amazing NFL gear that you want. Like, honestly, I might consider, just for partially kind of the joke of it, but partially just to have it. I mean, who else has a Jake Tonjes jersey? Like, that's going to be a throwback for sure. And so that might be one that I'm interested in getting here in the couple weeks. But I know that I'm going to be using that South Harmon promo code that we have. And as recently discussed, whether it's on AMA or some other like 40 podcasts here on this podcast feed, the Fanatics is going to be giving some giveaways to South Harmon as well. So make sure to stay in, is tuned in to all of our content in order to see when we're doing those. So that way you can get some free merch as well. That's everything for this week. And as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.